Look at the Gospel of John, chapter 3, and verse 17. Most of us know John 3:16. And it's good to know John 3:16, but we should know John 3:17 as well. If we're going to quote John 3:16, we should quote John 3:17. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever would believe on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We can learn an important lesson on that verse. In reading on, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. We have a compassionate Savior, a loving Savior, and his mission was never to step into this world to condemn the world. That was never his approach. That was never what he did. He could have, but he didn't. They were already condemned. They were already in darkness. He was interested in saving the world. He was interested in bringing what they needed, the light that they needed, the redemption that they needed, the rescue that they needed. There are a good many people in the world that are afraid of God. They're afraid of falling short. They're afraid of judgment falling. They're afraid of all kinds of things. People that are not saved but are doing the best they can. They don't know the God that I know, that you know. They don't know the Savior that I know, that you know, but they're trying. We don't accomplish anything by condemning the world for being dark. We know it's dark. Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world. He came into the world to save it. He came into the world to redeem it. The condemnation was already there. When Jesus came into the world and he presented the way and they rejected that light, then there was condemnation. But even then, his love went on reaching to them. If you've ever been in a cave that was dark, or you've been on a cave tour and they turn out the lights, you know how dark that is. And there have been those that have been lost in caves. Some caves have been found that way. People wandering into them and then they get lost. But in that kind of a scenario, if someone was lost in a cave and you knew the way out, you could condemn them for not bringing enough candles. You could condemn them for entering the cave. You could condemn them for not bringing enough batteries. Or you could show them the way out. Jesus came into the world to show the way out. That's what he did. And when people rejected him, when people mocked him, his love still went on reaching. He still was trying to win them over. He was still reaching to save them. When I was raising my children, if I told them to clean their room, and they said that they did, and then they shut the door, they turn out the light, it's all good, there's no problem, we've done it. But I go in and turn on the light, there's instant condemnation. They know what was required of them. But now the light's on, it's pretty clear. They didn't do it, I wouldn't have to say a word. You know, this is what the Lord brought into the world. But he came into the world. He wanted to win the world. He wanted to save the world. That was his mission. The love of the Savior was to rescue the world. The gospel is enough. There's enough power in the gospel to reach every soul, every sin, to reach every person, no matter how down and out, no matter how far gone down the path of sin, there is power in the gospel to reach that individual. And that's what the Lord did. He reached those who had been forgotten about, who had been tossed aside, who were not important anymore, who did not have an opinion, nobody cared, nobody bothered to ask them how they were doing. They didn't exist in many people's eyes. They didn't matter. They weren't part of the business world. They weren't part of the world that they were in their personal life. So it was easy to walk right on by them. But Jesus came to save them. People wouldn't have a hard time condemning those. People wouldn't have a hard time ignoring those. But Jesus came to save them. Jesus came to rescue them. Paul considered himself the chief of sinners, unsavable. He was one that people were afraid of. But the Lord knew what to do with Paul. The Lord knew how to get a hold of Paul. And there are people in this world that seem a long way away. They seem very distant. Who knows what's going on in the heart? But the Lord knows how to reach those individuals, and the gospel is enough. Now, the Lord didn't just come to save the world, but He calls you and I to win the world. That's what He empowers us for. That's why He saved us. He empowers us to live in it and to win it. He doesn't empower us to condemn it. He doesn't empower us to run from it. He doesn't empower us to ignore it and isolate ourselves from it. He empowers us to live in it and win it. The gospel's enough to save them and empower you to win them. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the love of God, will get the job done. The love of God in the heart will do it. We thank God that the call of God came to us that way. We know the world is dark. We know there are things that we need to be careful of. We know there are things we need to watch out for, that we don't condemn our own lives, that we don't compromise ourselves. There are so many things in this world that can compromise, draw our attention, that can cloud our judgment, as it were, and take the edge off of our interest in the gospel, take the edge off of our interest in the will of God, take the edge off of our vision of the value of a soul. But I don't think we can overestimate that, do you? Is it possible to overstate the value of a soul? God calls us to win the world, and God will empower us to win the world. The gospel is enough to get the job done. The gospel will do it. I think often in the book of Acts, in the early church, in Acts chapter 3 and then Acts chapter 4, when the disciples were threatened for teaching in the name of Jesus, they were threatened that they should not do that anymore. They went back to the church and they prayed. They prayed. They were threatened. Now we've got a problem. Well, what are we going to pray for? Should we pray for wisdom to outwit those that are threatening us? Should we pray for fire to come down and destroy our enemies? A couple of the disciples asked Jesus about that one time. When they rejected Jesus, they thought, maybe that's what should happen. How could they reject you? Maybe we should call fire down upon them. And Jesus said, you know not what spirit you are of. I came to rescue them, not destroy them. Well, what are we praying for? We're threatened now. We've got a problem. Let's put armed guards outside the church. What are we going to do about this? But they prayed. What did they pray for? They prayed for grace. They prayed for the love of God, that they could give a greater witness to a dying world. They didn't pray for strength to condemn it. They prayed for strength to win it. That this is the power of the gospel, and this was what God intended when He baptizes you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, a mighty baptism of the love of God, that you and I can win the world in which we live. That is what He calls us to. The power of God is enough to get that job done. The love of God will do it. The love of God will reach. Great grace was upon them, it tells us, and mighty signs and wonders were done. I tell you what I like about this, there was no fear. There was no hesitation. Souls were at stake. And God had empowered them with the love of God. There was no fear about it. They were put in prison. The Lord delivered them. They were beaten. And at that, it caused them to rejoice that they were worthy to suffer for His name. And they were right back in the temple. Why? Because they were filled with the purpose of God. The love of God was operating. They were interested in winning their world. And God had given them the power to do it. God will do that. We can't do that in ourselves. We can't come up with that. We can't generate the strength and the ingenuity and whatever else we would need to win the world. The Lord has to do that. The Lord puts the love of God in us. We want more of the love of God. There's something in our souls that wants higher ground. There's something in our souls that cries out for more of God. Less of me, more of God. Because there are souls that need to be won. And there are a lot of people out there in that dark world that are hurting, that are confused, They don't know the way back. They don't know what to do. You know them. You've run into them. I work with them. So do you. And they hide behind smiles and laughter. They hide behind all sorts of different things that they can distract themselves with. But if you get them by themselves, they cry themselves to sleep at night. They'll confess to you that they don't like themselves very much. But you would never know it by listening to them talk. But you get them alone and you begin to converse with them. And you find out they're just looking for a way out. God calls us to win the world in which we live. And the love of God will get that job done. The love of God is enough. The gospel is enough to reach the souls of men. The Lord can do that. The Lord can strengthen us. The Lord can anoint us with the grace that we need. Of course He can. The Lord empowers us. The Lord strengthens us with a love for souls. You cannot fear somebody and love and try to win their soul at the same time. When you truly love them with the love of God, the fear is gone. Have you noticed that? The angst is gone. Why? Because you're interested in their soul. You know that they're going to step into a lost eternity. You can't bear that. You know that the Lord died for them. And the love of God constrains us in our hearts. We want to see them rescued. We want to see them brought in like we were. The Lord was merciful to us. We know the Lord is reaching for them. The Lord loves them. The gospel is enough to get it done. The gospel is enough to empower us, to strengthen us, to give us what we need. We don't always feel very special. Most of the time we don't at all, probably. In fact, if I was to ask if you feel pretty average and commonplace, raise your hand. Probably everybody in here would raise their hand. None of us feel very spectacular about ourselves, and yet the Lord chooses to win the world by people. He chooses that His love of God would shine through people to win other people. That's His plan. It can be easy to sit back and say somebody else will do it. It can be easy to sit back and say, well, the Lord will reach their heart. But when the love of God is truly operating in our souls, we'll be the one. We'll be praying for them. We want the love of God in our hearts, but to have it, we must be willing to yield to what it's going to produce in our lives. Are we willing to be long-suffering? Are we willing to pray for those that will despitefully use us? Are we willing to be kind to those that will not be kind to us? Are we willing to bless those who curse us? Are we willing to pray for those souls that will slander us? The love of God does. That's what the love of God does, and that's what we want. And if we're going to have the love of God in our hearts, it's going to be able to reach out to a world, we're going to have to pay that price and be willing for it to operate in our lives like that. We're going to have to be willing for it to produce those results in our lives towards those people. That's what we want, though. We don't want anything less. Do I have enough of the love of God in me that wants to win the world around me? Well, God help us. When we have the love of God, we will want to win the world around us. We don't have to fear it. God will empower. God will give us what we need. God will give us the love that we need in our hearts. God will give us the grace that we need. God does the work. It's the gospel. The gospel is enough. We thank God that He will empower us to make us more than conquerors. You know, the Lord can give you the grace so things don't bother you. Did you know that? When you're insulted, when you're belittled, when you're ignored in the workplace, the Lord can give you the grace of God so that those things bounce off of you. They disappear like water on a red hot stove. It doesn't bother you. It's easy for you still to pray for them. That's the power of the gospel. You can still love them. You can still pray for them. You can still be kind to them through the power of the gospel. And that's how you'll win their souls. That's how you'll win their hearts. How easy it is to react. How easy it is to run the other way. How easy it is to take matters into our own hands. But Jesus came into the world not to condemn it, but to win it. No matter what He faced, when He beheld Jerusalem, He wept over it. When He beheld the city and the people, He saw that they had rejected Him. These were people that had already tried to take His life. These were people that had slandered him. These were people that undermined him. These were people that tried to turn his disciples against him. They discredited him. They tried to ruin his ministry. They ignored him. They rejected him. And still, he wept for them. That's the love of Christ for their souls. He wasn't bothered by those other things. He was weeping for them. The love of God still goes on reaching. The love of God is a priceless commodity that we must have. And when we have the love of God, we will never be more complete. We will never be more happy. We will never be more confident than when we were operating by the love of God. The Lord knows how to use commonplace things. Just think for a moment of the miracle of the loaves and the fish. And in John chapter 6, he asked the disciples, where are we going to buy bread? In so many words, where will we buy bread to feed this great multitude? But it tells us that he did this to test them because he already knew what he was going to do. He already knew the miracle that he was going to perform. And in Matthew's account, when somebody mentioned that there were some loaves and some fish, he said, bring them to me. And when they brought them to him, and he took care of it, there was more than enough. When it's brought to the Lord, he knows what to do with it. He already knows what he's going to do with it. We can put our lives in his hands. We might not feel that important, but the Lord wants to win your world using you. And the Lord knows how to do that. We can bring our cares to him and put those in his hand. We can bring our loved ones and put those in his hand. He already knows what he can do with that. He already knows the miracles that he can perform when things are yielded to him. I remember when I was getting squared away with the Lord had been speaking to me back in 1988. And I'd been praying for a few months. I knew I wasn't right with God. I didn't know how to get back. I just didn't know what to do. I felt like my faith was kind of ruined. I didn't know what prayers to pray. I didn't know who to talk to. I didn't know where to go. This was after my senior year. I remember being on the campgrounds. And all I wanted was somebody that could help me find my way to the cross. I didn't need anybody to line me up. I didn't need anybody to tell me, you messed up. I knew that. The condemnation was already there. I was just trying to get back. I say that because it had already happened. Somebody had taken it upon themselves to line me up. It didn't help much. And so I thought, if I'm going to talk to anybody, it's going to have to be somebody I know is going to understand where I'm at. They're going to be able to lead me to the cross. I don't want to have to make any explanations. I don't want to have to make any excuses. I just want to get home. Well, I found somebody. I was able to share a little bit. And the next morning, across the street at the campgrounds, I didn't make it to the altar. But I just made it to the wing on the left side in the back row of that wing. And there, the Lord met me. I was expecting conversations. I was expecting some battles to have to explain some things. I thought I might have to have these long discourse with the Lord. I'm trying to iron everything out. But you know, I found as I prayed there was an irresistible tug on my heart. But the Lord was just asking me to come home. Just give up. Just give up. No words were needed. No conversation was needed. I just fell in the arms of Jesus and the work was done. And I found it was true. He did not come to make me explain anything. He did not come to condemn me. He came to rescue me. How I thank God for that. How I thank God it's that easy. And the Lord calls us to be a witness in this dark world. Yes, it's a dark world, but the gospel is enough. The gospel is enough. It will cause us to ride on the high places, can cause our souls to soar above the world. There's victory in the gospel. There's victory to face it with the love of God, without fear, without compromise, without worry, without paranoia, without running for cover. We can face it because souls are at stake and we love those souls. The love of Christ is working in us. We won't recognize ourselves. That's the power of the gospel, and that's what God calls us to, isn't it? It is. There's enough. There's enough grace, there's enough power, there's enough victory, and I'm thankful this gospel is not complicated either. Anybody that wants to come in contact with God, anybody that is hungry enough, that wants to have an audience with God, the Lord will move heaven and earth so that that can happen for you. Sometimes we might feel like we have to work out all of our own questions, work out all of our own doubts, get the victory over all of those before we come to the Lord. But you know, if we just come to Him and put those in His hands and let Him work, come to the Lord the same way you did when you got saved. Just give up. Just give up. Fall in the arms of the Lord and see what He'll do for you. See the victory He'll do for you. The power of the gospel makes us more than conquerors. It's a trick of the enemy to get us running for cover. That's not God's will. And that doesn't win souls. When was the last time somebody was won to the gospel because somebody thumped a finger in their chest? But the love of God, it's a supernatural power. It's nothing you and I can generate, but it's something that you and I must have. It's something that we have to pray until we have. And the Lord will fill us with it. Think about when you were first saved. I think about my wife's testimony. She was 6, I believe, and she was so excited. And her first desire was for her best friend to get saved. That the love of God was operating unhindered. There was no thought process. There was no fear of what she was going to think. There was nothing in the way. She wanted her friend to get saved. She could not wait to go tell her in the playground because she wanted to share it. That's the love of God. That's what we want. We want more of it. We thank God for what He's done, but there's higher ground yet. Isn't there a call of God that goes out to win the world? Isn't there a call of God that goes out to win the people around us, to be filled with the love of God, the grace of God, so that we are not affected by the petty things of this world? We can rise above the insults and the rejections and being ignored and being put down and whatever else. It doesn't matter when the love of God is operating. We rise above it with victory. And you'll rejoice. You won't recognize yourself. You'll rejoice. The gospel's enough. We thank God for it. We don't do it ourselves. In John chapter 1, verse 12, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, not by pedigree, doesn't matter who your parents are, nor of the will of the flesh. You're not going to force it. You're not going to make yourself become a Christian. We know this. We're not going to make ourselves love those that despitefully use us. We're going to have to pray. But God gives the victory, doesn't He? God gives us the true love of God towards those individuals. It's amazing. Surely you know what I'm talking about. This is the gospel, the power of the gospel. It works. It works. And He says, power to become the sons of God. In verse 13, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. God gives us the power. God gives us the love from heaven. God gives us the grace. We're so thankful for that. We can't do it. We can't generate it. All we can do is come to the Lord. And sometimes all we can do is say, come to the Lord and say, Lord, help me. I don't know how to answer my own questions. I don't know where to go from here. The Lord understands all that. He's just as compassionate as He's always been. He is our compassionate Savior. He understands us. He understands you. He knows the thoughts we think, the paths that we trod. He has victories waiting for us. He knows what He wants to do with you. There's a call of God that goes out. There is. There's a call of God that goes out to be filled with the love of God. To be a shining influence of the love of God in the dark world in which we live. We thank God that that's possible. We thank God we can have that kind of victory. And we thank God that we can help win other people to Christ. What a privilege it is to be part of this gospel. What a privilege it is to know that we can have real victory. I thank God for it. I thank God for what He's done for me. I thank God for the prayers He's answered, for the way He's been patient with me, the way He's led me, and you could say the same thing. The victories that He's given me, the chains He's broken, I could tell you stories, and I know you could too. The power of God is real. We have something that the world needs to hear. And we know the way because we know the Savior. And we thank God for that. We just want to help them find their way home. The love of God will teach us how to do that. The love of God does it for us. It compels us.
We thank God for that. There's victory in this gospel. The gospel's enough to give us victory in every circumstance. There's a power in the gospel to answer your prayer tonight. If you really want to have an audience with God, you can have an audience with God. Just bring it all to Him. Put it all in His hands. He'll work for you. He'll give you the victory. Let's stand and sing.